Like, I'm just gonna say.
I like how you feathered the clutch on it and then just jammed on the gas. He's probably not a.
Yeah. I thought about it. I almost pulled the trigger. I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm gonna pull the trigger.
This is how fuck this happen. Guy.
Fuck this guy. I don't like him. So we'll get into that in the actual podcast.
Are we in the podcast?
We technically were, but I'm just gonna go ahead and start now. It's time for the Vader's Truck Podcast.
I thought it was already time.
Well, it is now time for real. So
now it's Vader time.
All that was all that was Vader.
Well, it is
time.
May 4th.
It is
when we're recording this.
That's true.
So it's time.
It is.
It's time. It's Darth Vader time.
It's Darth Vader's. It's time. It's time. Don't set your dog off with the rookie anyway, so yeah, it's Video Destruct Podcast. Welcome.
Did you hang up before we get going?
Okay.
I saw one good Star Wars meme today, and it was like right when I woke up.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like bleary-eyed. It's like 6 in the morning. I'm like, God, I gotta go to the gym.
Yeah.
And I looked down at my phone, and somebody said, did you ever notice that May the 4th is Star Wars Day, and it's the day before Cinco de Mayo, so I give you Juan Solo? And it's a guy, he's in a stormtrooper outfit, but has like one of those Mexican throws over him with a sombrero. Juan Solo.
Juan Solo. Hey, Juan. How you doing? See?
That's anyway, the one good Star Wars.
It's good. It was pretty good. It's a pretty good one. But yeah, welcome to the Video Destruct Podcast, the worst podcast on the internet.
Yep.
The absolute worst video game podcast
ever! Second worst.
Second worst?
Schmozcast was worse.
Schmozcast was way worse. It was so bad we got rid of it.
We stopped
doing that one. But it's no longer on the internet. It's stripped. So.
Which is sad because... Yeah. Wrestling kind of got all right again.
Yeah.
But I don't feel the need to talk about
it. No, I don't think we ever...
Because I'm worried if I start talking about it, it'll get bad again.
It'll get really bad. It got so bad during the course of that thing.
Man.
Oh, man, it got so awful. But yeah. Anyway, today we're going to be talking about Max Payne 1 and 2.
Yep.
The originator of Bullet Time himself.
Yeah, we're not going to include Max Payne 3 in this discussion, made by a different developer, of a different time, very different game.
Mm-hmm.
So we're strictly going to go with the the Xbox, PS2, and PC releases of Max Payne,
Payne
1 and 2.
The Pain Man. The Maximum Painage. Is that what they called it? Is that
no,
what they
that's...
Called
that?
I'm pretty sure that's what they called it.
Nobody ever called them that.
I think they called them that. I think that was a thing.
Do you know when they called him that?
Never. I think it was a thing, though. I think
never.
It was. But anyway, are you just playing a Ratchet and Clank?
Well, it's on mute.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought you were just like playing a trailer for something.
It's a quick look. Look how pretty that game looks.
The new Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah, I need to play that soon. It's not like a game that I desperately need to play like right now.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I heard that movie is a piece of shit.
I mean, it's just like, it's like the game, but like, you know, the game is fun because you play it.
But it's like one of the worst reviewed movies of the year. The new fucking Wayans movie reviewed better than that.
Oof. A Wayans brother movie ranked better than that? Was that the Purge one? The Purge parody? Isn't that the latest one?
I think so.
I think it's the Purge parody.
I don't know. I heard that there was a new Wayans movie, and then I started to have an aneurysm.
What world do we live in where... Okay, so I went to the theater one time.
Those movies make a lot of money.
And I saw the Purge... No, because, like, Purge had been forever. Right? I'm talking about the Purge.
Oh.
Like, the Purge, which did not do... Like, it didn't set the world... It didn't bomb, but it didn't set the world on fire for anything. But they somehow weaseled out a sequel from that. And
like, four.
An actual theatrical release sequel. No actual sequel was released...
Are you sure The Purge 2 wasn't in theaters?
It was in theaters, and it wasn't even a legitimate one from that. They had to call it The Purge something else, because The Purge was not trademarked at the time. Very fucking weird. But finally they...
You know what's really good to do?
Yeah.
Is to release a property without trademarking your name.
Yeah. Some weird little story like that. But yeah, that whole shit was never released to theaters. Purge 2 is now coming to theaters, and whatever the hell it's called... And somehow, like, I guess the parody group in Hollywood, like, heard this. So they just made a fucking Purge movie parody, like, to release at the same time as that, because let's capitalize on that nonsense.
You know, I'm proud to tell you that my GoBots movie is coming out this year. So.
Your GoBots movie is coming out?
They didn't trademark that name, so.
I think the GoBots actually...
Wait, didn't Hasbro actually end up with that?
Hasbro ended up with that. So Transformers and GoBots is in the same universe.
Basically. Crossover!
They need the crossover movie now. I think they do.
Name a GoBot.
Psykill.
Name another GoBot.
Leader One.
Name another GoBot?
Scooter.
How do you know this many GoBots?
I'm a cartoon junkie, man. You don't even know. I can keep going with this.
Feel free. I got time.
Turbo, Crasher, Coptor. There's an original
one. Is Turbo Teen part of that?
No, Turbo Teen is not part of that. Though Turbo, I think, was the same model of car as Turbo Teen, which is a Ferrari.
Like a red sports car?
Sports car. Was it a Ferrari? Trans Am? I don't think it was
officially licensed, but it was evocative.
It was evocatively so a Trans Am, probably. But yeah. I know a lot of GoBots. I don't know why.
I don't think I've ever seen a GoBots episode.
Don't.
I just remember that my mom brought me a GoBot home when I was a kid, and I was like, what the fuck is this trash? And I was looking for the Transformer thing where you could put your thumb on it, and it would, like, change color, like the lenticular thing.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I was like, this doesn't have one of those. This isn't a fucking Transformer. So I got it at a yard sale. Who gives a shit?
That's funny. Yeah. They spun that technology off into another, property called Battle Beasts. I got a ton of them. They're pretty awesome.
I bet you do.
They're like little animal men.
But they're great.
Yeah, they're awesome. I love them. But
I bet they're awesome.
They're great. They're fantastic. Hey, you got like 5 Dreamcast controllers over there. Don't tell me what I can't collect.
Whoa!
You can't even plug 5 of those in. You can't plug 5
I've got
in.
One in the chamber, okay. All right?
that's fair enough. but anyway, Ratchet & Clank, I guess it's, I'm sure the game's good.
The game reviewed incredibly well.
Yeah, but the movie not so much.
No.
I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard it's not great. I'm not gonna lie, I saw that trailer and was just like, oh, that's a thing. Like, I didn't much see anything about it.
Well, here's the thing, is that, like, Ratchet & Clank, the video game, is funny, but... What I don't think that people really ever grasp is that with the rare exception of something like Portal 2, which is actually very funny.
Yes, it is.
Most things are funny in the sense that, well, I was so distracted when I was playing the video game that the comedy caught me off guard. And I was like, all right.
Well, I mean, it's an added thing on top of the actual gameplay.
You know, I think there is...
There's a stimulant to it because, like, oh, I'm playing through this action game, and then there's comedy. But, yeah, I don't... Like, it's very low-end type of comedy.
I really do think there is something to the fact, though, of the distraction that you have in video games to the point where when a joke can crack through that... It may not be that great of a joke. Yeah. It catches you so off guard.
It's true. It's true.
It's pretty good. It's like a good pun. When you don't see a good pun coming, you're like, oh, you fucker.
Yeah.
You got me.
You got me with that pun.
Ah,
you strung those words together and you made it into a
son
thing.
Son of a bitch.
It was all right. Yeah, I agree. That's probably the reason.
I'm not going to say that's all of it, but I think it has something to do with
Does. Probably does. It's always had cartoonish humor in general, but...
Little known fact, I'm a really, really big fan of the Ratchet and Clank games.
Yes, you are.
Everyone through A Crack in Time I have finished. Mm-hmm. I haven't played any of them since then because they weren't made by Insomniac.
Right, yeah.
With the exception of All for One. I did play All for One. I haven't finished that one. Right. That was the last Insomniac one. I didn't like that one very much.
Right, yeah.
That was the big co-op one, and that was back in the days when I didn't have any buddies who had PS3s. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason... The people I knew that had PS3s, I don't even think those things ever saw the internet. It was just like, when a Metal Gear comes out, I'm going to play that.
I'm going to play that Metal Gear.
I'm going to do that offline and fuck you. And they're not going to fuck. It's
I got it.
It's a
thing. I got it.
But yeah, so what are we talking about today?
There you go. I guess we're going to go ahead and talk about that new Call of Duty. Curl of Dirty.
Yeah, they unveiled this week.
That $80 game. No,
well, it's $60 for the game.
That's true.
It's and $80 if you get it with the Modern Warfare 1.
With the Modern Warfare.
But let's start at the beginning here. They unveiled a new trailer for the game. You know, as Call of Duty always is, the worst kept secret in the video game industry. When you've got like 300 people working on your game and it's one of the best selling games on the planet, guess what? Leaks are going to happen.
Yeah.
And it turned out most of the stuff that we believed was true. The name was correct. And they only show future stuff in the trailer.
It's true.
But I've heard quite a few things about how this game will stretch World War II, Cold War era, current era, and the future, but primarily be focused on the future.
Okay.
Similarly to the way that Black Ops 2 was, where there was all of that Cold War era stuff that affected the future shit.
Right.
And I think they're going to do kind of a time-trotting adventure end of this, but I could be wrong. I just happen to think that's you know, when you start throwing out infinite to something, I just start thinking like, well, like, you know, war is always happening, fucking all the time,
all the time. War is forever and always.
Oh man, you want to see something really depressing?
Sure. I mean,
there's a chart out there that focuses on U.S. involvement in wars.
Okay.
Yeah. And there is a certain point where it will tell you how much of your life the United States has been involved in wars, and after a certain year, you've never existed in a year without us being involved in a war.
Well, yeah, I mean,
and
that'll happen.
That's kind of fucking depressing,
I guess. I mean, you know, it's we go to a lot of, we do a lot of things. It's just, you know,
I'm not getting all hippie on you or anything, but there's something about that, like, kind of bums me out a little bit.
Yeah, you know, you're free to be bummed out by it, absolutely.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess it's one of those things.
The Moorhawks like their, you know, they like killing things, they do. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that about soldiers. I
wouldn't say that about them. Well, yeah, you know, I wouldn't say that at all.
Yeah, I don't think anybody enjoys the killing.
No.
But yeah, I don't know. So they unveiled the new game. You know, it's it appears to be running on the rendering technology from Black Ops 3. It does seem sharper,
sure,
than Black Ops 3. This definitely seems like, I wouldn't say like revolutionary, I would say evolutionary graphics approach. And you know, if you are a fan of the podcast or watched any of our videos where we played Black Ops 3, I was of the opinion that game looked very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I have no problem with the way that that their current technology looks. There's a lot of people that feel like, oh, this game looks like shit. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. You feel that way.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
The most common criticism is that it's a Halo clone, I guess.
People are like, oh, this future shit looks like Halo. I'm like, remember, like, when every first-person shooter was, oh, that's a fucking Doom clone, even though it's like it wasn't red or about the devil.
Yeah.
It's just because it played like that or displayed some similarities to it on some base level.
True.
I don't know. I think the game looks fine. I was a huge fan of the exosuit stuff from Advanced Warfare.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little bit bummed out that they toned some of that back for Black Ops 3.
Right.
I thought there was a freewheelingness about Advanced Warfare that was fucking crazy.
Sure.
So one would hope that they kind of amp it up for this again.
You had a ground pound in that game.
You did.
I mean, that's, you know.
You did.
You don't expect that in a Call of Duty game to have a ground pound.
No. No, at least it wasn't a butt stomp. I would wear a shirt that says, can't we get beyond the butt stomp?
The butt stomp. Well, that's the ground pound, technically. It's just always been
a butt. Fist better than your ass.
It's true. The ground pound... Probably better suited the ground pound with the ass. Probably better suited for the plumbers and the bears, bear mascots and stuff. Not so much the warrior.
Oh, future. I thought you were talking about homosexuals.
No. I'm talking about Mario and Banjo.
Because when you said bears, I was like,
no. All right.
I learned from a guy I work with the other day that there's bears and twinks and cubs.
Yes.
I learned another one the other day. Otters.
That's yeah. the other one, yeah.
That's like, the I guess you're like hairy, but you have like a swimmer's like body.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be the thing, yes. Anyway.
We talk about a lot of stuff here on the show.
We do, and I don't know why we talk about it ever.
You know, I like to learn things. What's wrong with that?
You know, it's totally fine. I'm totally okay with us learning things. It's always good. You know, maybe some people didn't know that.
Maybe we should grow.
I just don't know what, like,
we otter. Can grow together.
Otter is such a bizarre term to go for. Cub, I get. Otter is a bizarre term for that. I don't know why. But,
so, what, you know, like, my understanding of cub, like, would you be a cub if you were gay?
If I was gay, I think maybe.
Because you're shorter? Or you're like smaller?
Or is the cub the person that's just into bears?
I thought they also needed to be hairy and were typically smaller.
And typically, they don't have to be big. They just have to be kind of manly. I feel like I would be a bear, but I don't know how manly I am. I can change a tire. Is that, like, a, you know, like, I don't know many people... I'm just saying, you know.
Try this phrase out.
Okay.
Why don't you come on over here and suck this dick?
I don't want to say that on
this. if you can't say that phrase.
Well, it's not so much
I can do it.
It's not so much I can't say that phrase.
I don't think you can.
If I was gay, I could probably say it all day. But I don't really want to say that on a podcast. And have that isolated for anyone to use. That's my problem, boss.
Oh, shit. I want a business card man. That says, why don't you just come over here and
suck this dick. Oh, man.
Heard a good
version of that for a girl, by the way. Because they never had a good one for that, right? They can't say suck my dick. Suck my flaps. That was there. I thought that was okay. Like, oh, yeah. All right.
That's, I had a really weird disgusting. Mental image of, like, those trucker flaps with the lady, like,
oh, yeah.
The lady right. reflectors on them.
Someone sucking on those? Did you have a...
Right. Yeah.
Weird things go on your head, and that's for sure.
All right, so Call of Duty.
Yeah. Nice little...
Call that a segue.
Segue over here.
All right, but yeah, so they showed it. It's, you know, of what they've shown, they show space combat. It appears to be... a game that, much like Halo Reach, is going to have space combat portions to it.
Mm-hmm.
They gave you the illusion that that stuff is going to be interactive. I really like the fucking spaceships that they get into,
mm-hmm.
and they just start accelerating upwards towards orbit, and you're like, oh, they're just going to keep going up there for a while. Oh, shit, we're in space!
Oh, our space battles!
And then they end the trailer with pretty awesome scene for somebody who is a big fan of Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the original, where it's Soap with his sweet mustache
mm-hmm.
and his cigar in the helicopter, you know, at the boat mission where they're flying over there and shows them do the rope out, the fast rope down onto the platform of the ship. And, you know, there's water everywhere and it's running on the new technology. It looks incredible. And they announced that... much as people had predicted, there would be an HD version of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 1, but a lot of people were speculating it's going to be $100,
right.
and you get Infinite Warfare and Modern Warfare together.
Right.
But Activision went the cheaper route, played it safe, and said $80, you get both games, comes out November 4th?
Right.
I believe it's the 4th.
November 4th,
I believe. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's... Got about 6 months in the hopper here.
Yeah.
To come out. The game looks like it's shaping up well already. For the most part, it sounds like people that were still heavily invested in Call of Duty really enjoyed the multiplayer in Black Ops 3.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they got time to put something together.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is the Infinity Ward team, what's left of them anyway.
Yeah.
The guys that revolutionized the Call of Duty franchise.
Yeah.
You know, after a poor outing in most people's eyes with Ghosts.
Yeah.
I happen to enjoy Ghosts.
Yeah.
But I come to those games not for the multiplayer, but primarily for the single player. I just really like an action thrill ride that's about 5 to 7 hours long.
Sure.
And is cool.
Whenever you're betrayed by a commanding officer.
Guess what? Yeah, that CO, he's a dick.
He's an asshole.
Yeah. Kevin Spacey, not a good guy.
Not a good guy, if you were wondering, by the way. I don't know if anybody really thought Kevin Spacey was a good guy in something.
No, he's just a southern senator.
Yeah. Because him as the president in that Netflix show, that always worked out for everybody.
He wasn't a president on House of Cards.
Is he not president?
No.
I thought he was president. I haven't watched that show. I apologize.
You should.
I should watch that show.
It's really good.
I thought he was president. Who is he?
Well, in the newest season, he's running for president.
I assumed he was the president.
He's a representative that is basically pulling the strings all over Washington.
Okay.
And him and his...
Unofficial representative as in House of Representatives?
Yes.
Okay.
And him and his cunt wife, who I fucking love. She is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
They found this woman that is just such a believable bitch.
Right, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I love you.
You're okay.
There's something about, like, that... Helen Mirren-ish looking woman that's really fucking mean that I'm always like, ooh, that's sexy.
Ooh, hey. Like, you can be mean
You look
to
like
me.
You treat me like garbage.
You can be mean to me all day.
But yeah, so I think that, you know, Infinite Warfare appears like it's shaping up well. There's a lot of people who are, you know, and I do it occasionally myself. I'm not going to say that I'm above it. But whenever trailers for new games and hot franchises come out, like, one of the first things that always happens is that a whole shitload of people on the internet just decide that they want to dunk on that thing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, and, like, I don't get it. Like, and I was telling my friends the other day that are, like, huge into Battlefield, and they just shit on Call of Duty whenever it comes out.
Right.
I'm like, hey, guys, you know, I know that Battlefield 2 was, like, in Battlefield 1942, and even Battlefield 3 to a certain extent, were, like, seminal moments for console video games.
Sure.
And, you know, or PC games in the case of 42 and Battlefield 2. Sure. But you realize that Battlefield, as you love it now, as you cherish it now, would not exist without that.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's the same way that, like, people who shit on Halo, I'm like, you realize that Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 and Modern Warfare 1 and, hell, even Call of Duty itself probably wouldn't have happened if Halo didn't do what it did.
Any modern shooter, period. Like,
exactly. Yeah. Especially in the console space, because nobody...
Yeah.
And I'll stand by this to my death, nobody had done one well before Halo.
Yeah. A console.
GoldenEye is not good.
It's not. It's nostalgically fun.
It was good because you were 12 when you played it. And that's fine. There's a lot of stuff that I really liked that was good because I was 12 when I played it.
Exactly.
But I don't hold a candle now and say, like, fucking Zach McCracken, it's a game you gotta play. Like, no, Zach McCracken was hilarious because I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I had a sound card, so you could actually hear those people talking. You're like, oh, that's crazy. But yeah, I don't know. I think it looks good. You know, the backlash obviously can't be that big because those games still fucking sell.
Oh, yeah. Of course they do. You know, it's not like it has, like, a red bar on the dislikes or anything. You know, it's just...
No.
Yeah.
I think that trailer, as of the last time I happened to take a look at it, had already been viewed, like, 15 million times.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of, like, I don't know, and I try real hard not to do this with any fandoms that I have. There's a lot of... You know,
I did it with that Ghostbusters trailer, but it deserved it.
Well, yeah, that's because it looked like shit. But there's a betrayal, you know, it's like sort of aspect to it. And I don't feel betrayed by the Ghostbusters trailer.
Because it's exactly what I expected.
Exactly. It's exactly what I expected. I wasn't expecting anything good, regardless of who you cast in it. It's a Sony movie of an old property that's being rebooted that's very loved. There's nothing good to come out of that.
I have something to talk with you about real quick that we haven't talked about at all on this podcast.
Sure, sure. Can you wait for a sec while I finish my point?
Yeah, go ahead. I just wanted to make sure that I remembered this.
There's a certain amount of betrayal mentality that goes into these sorts of things, and it's just like, so it's just louder. Even though it's not more people, it's just louder when people say it. You know, just because they just, every time it pops up, like Dave, our buddy Dave, pissed off at this game. Fuck it, I don't, like, every chance he sees a chance to, like, throw a joke towards this game's way, he's, like, posting it. And I'm just like, okay, like, I didn't, again, I'm not a big Call of Duty guy, I'm not a Modern Warfare guy, I saw this trailer and was just like, that looks cool. And that's it, that's all that came out of my brain.
And here's, like, the best and worst thing that you can say about it is that that looks like one of those.
Yeah, basically, that's what I thought. And, you know, when they went off into space and were shooting stuff, I was like, oh, That's awesome.
That's look at that. Different.
That's new.
They haven't done that yet.
No. Like, I don't know.
And it didn't seem like a mounted turret sequence like fucking Modern Warfare 3, which was terrible on so many levels because you didn't actually play most of that game. It was just like, I'm going to turn this turret around.
Exactly, yeah.
Granted, so, Modern Warfare 3 had its own problems, you know, just because they had to wheel that thing together in no time.
Exactly. And you had some points, like, prior to coming on. It's like, they complained when it was in the World War II. You told them to get out of World War II. Then you told them to get out of the Cold War. And then they told them don't do Modern Warfare anymore. And so they stopped doing all those things. And now they're doing something
What new. Else is left?
Yeah, it's, you know, like I said, they go back to the Revolutionary War.
Well, and, you know, there's one thing that I've heard quite a few people say recently that a couple of years ago I would have scoffed at, but maybe it is time.
Yeah.
Maybe we should go back to World War II.
Yeah.
Maybe we're ready. Maybe. It's been about a decade.
It's been a while. It's been a while since...
Call of Duty 2,
mm-hmm.
not Modern Warfare 2, yeah. 2,
yeah.
in 2005
yeah.
was the last big World War II game, and it's been since we've done it.
Yeah.
You know, with these new consoles, with this new tech, I think in Normandy, you know, in Omaha...
Yeah.
I think a lot of these beach storming missions would look really good.
Yeah.
I think that fucking enemy at the gates scene on
yeah.
The Russian front with, you know, you get a gun, you get a bullet, you know, go. I think that shit would look awesome.
Had they covered all aspects? They did the Japanese side of that war.
They did. That yeah. was World at War.
That was World at War. That's right. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I guess World at War counts, and that was in 2009,
which, you know, that's still, we're in 2000.
We're getting close to a decade.
We're getting close to a decade from that, too.
Either way you slice it, we're still getting close to a decade.
It's been a while, and you could probably go back to it. You know what they should do, though? Take it back to World War I and put mechs in it. That'd be good. That'd be okay.
We already have that game.
I know.
It's called Iron Brigade.
Iron Brigade. It's awesome.
It's fucking fantastic.
They should just do Call of Duty Iron Brigade. And it's just that.
That game's backwards compatible.
What? Oh, is it? That's cool. That's awesome.
I played it the other day and went, yep, still awesome.
Can you still salute?
Yep.
Can you still thumbs up?
Yep.
Then it's intact.
Yes.
Core gameplay, intact, sir.
We hit all the boxes. All right. So anyway, I had one thing I wanted to ask you about.
Yes.
Did you hear the crossover movie they're making next over at Sony?
Oh, the cross. Oh, I probably did. You know, when you say it, I'll probably be like, "Oh yeah, I did hear about this." But
Men in Black and 21 Jump Street.
No, I didn't hear about this at all. What the fuck? Why? What? Yeah. Men in Black and 21 Jump Street.
I want to see that fucking movie.
Like Jonah Hill.
Yes.
What's his name with the girl's name? Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
Channing Tatum, Jonah Hill,
Duck Sampson,
and Duck Sampson, Will Smith, and Tommy Lee Jones.
Yes.
Holy shit!
My name is Tommy Lee Jones, and I'm the Electric Mist.
You know what? If they get Tommy Lee Jones for that, which they probably will, because Tommy Lee Jones will do whatever the fuck you do, whatever he. You pay him money, he will show up and he will do
And they'll probably have Stern-Faced Guy that was in Men in Black 3, even though that movie wasn't very good.
Yeah, well, he was like, that was like past him, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I think they'll probably still do like a
Just
time.
Get Brolin, just get Josh Brolin back in?
Well, I think they'll probably do like a cross-time thing again. Yeah, I think once you open the stupid time travel thing, you kind of can't close that.
It's true, they always leave that open. Look at Terminator.
I like that newest tour.
Did you? Eric did too. I haven't seen it.
Genesis was really good.
Genesis. Yeah.
Sega.
Sega.
Terminator Sega.
Yeah. Terminator Sega. That's it. Eric liked that too.
The Terminator Mega Drive.
That's how you reboot. That's how you get a franchise going. You have to acknowledge the first one. You know.
Yeah. Did you hear they kind of killed the sequels to that one?
Oh, did they? Yeah, it didn't do very. It didn't do very well critically or.
Well, the trailers looked like garbage.
Yeah, it looked bad. It looked real bad. I don't know.
But the movie turned out really good. I have no idea how they did that. Like, the whole time I was like, how the fuck did they do this? It's kind of like when I watched Edge of Tomorrow with Tom Cruise.
Right.
And you're like, well, this movie's going to be fucking terrible. Right? It's Groundhog Day with Tom Cruise. Oh, this movie's awesome.
Oh, this movie's great. Yeah. That movie did turn out awesome. Yeah. It's like Fight Club. You can't trailer Fight Club, and Fight Club's a good movie, but you can't trailer it.
So. I know. I thought the trailers were pretty good.
I didn't like. I didn't know what the
you
fuck
didn't
was
like
about.
The First Rule trailer.
No. Well,
I thought those were really good.
I know. I wasn't I wasn't a flip off your parents kind of kid. So
I was.
I know.
I was
like that was like.
What's fucked up is that I liked my parents, but I was like. Fuck society.
I know, right? I wasn't that type. I was too good at two shoes when I was a kid. So I was like, so then like later on, after I already knew the twist at the end, I watched it. It was very interesting to watch it knowing the twist.
Did I ever tell you about growing up?
I don't think you did.
Once a year, my mom would bust into my room and say the things that I was not allowed to have because what? My mom worked all the time, so she wasn't always completely up on. What's ruining your child's lives now?
Sure.
So there's like this moment, like 1993, she like busts into my room and says, "You are never allowed to buy Mortal Kombat." I'm like, "I have owned that for a year."
Well, I've been playing that for a while now.
And you know,
and she's a shit and just leaves.
Yep. She's like, "Well, if you've already had it for this, like, fuck it."
Well, shit.
You know, there's another moment like. 1999.
Yeah.
She busts in my room. I'm like, God, I need to get a lock for this fucking door. Right? She busts in. You're not allowed to see The Matrix. That's why those kids killed people in fucking Columbine. I was right. Like, Dad took me to see it last week. Shit.
I'm not really feeling like shooting anybody up. I'm not a crazy person.
Movie was about computers and not school violence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, there were just several of those moments growing up that, like, I reflect on them now and go, like, you know, my mom, she really was trying. She really was, but she had to work.
She had to work the whole time.
You know, like, I had working parents. But
and again, shit!
Shit! And that's again. Also probably why I ended up like I did.
Well, you know.
Let's be honest.
You're all right.
Yeah, I'm not, like, the scourge of society or anything, but...
You're just the host of the worst podcast on the internet, which is great, honestly. And,
you know, kids, you can be, too.
You can be, too. All you gotta do is
pay me $1,000 to get the domain rights, and I'll give you this fucker.
Oh man. Anyway, I think
more
that's,
news.
Is it more news? Yes.
More
Nintendo.
News.
Nintendogs. Yes.
Nope. Nothing to do with Nintendogs.
Oh no.
Nintendo came out and they had their investor call, and then like it was like last Tuesday, like night at 3 a.m. They. Basically released a press release that said, excuse me, that the NX,
mm-hmm.
the new Nintendo platform,
mm-hmm.
Would not be at E3.
Yeah.
That it will be coming out March of 2017.
Uh-huh.
As part of that, they also informed their investors, as well as the general populace, that The Legend of Zelda... would be delayed until March of next year and would be debuting on the Wii U and the NX at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And that they are not beginning work on the NX version of Legend of Zelda now that it has been in development for quite a while.
Right.
I don't believe that the delay of the NX, well, potential delay from this holiday to next March, is the result of anything other than parts availability.
Right.
I don't think it's tied to the Zelda at all.
Right.
I just think that the Zelda project's taking longer than they had anticipated.
Yeah.
That the NX, with the 14 nanometer chipset processes that are going to development this year,
mm-hmm.
everything's going to be using 14 nanometer now.
Right.
So the Neo is going to be using that. Whatever Microsoft's revision of the Xbox is that it sounds like is totally happening.
Mm-hmm.
Also a huge rumor that they're redesigning the Xbox One controller.
Hmm.
Like new button layout.
Interesting. So they're just gonna switch the X and the Y? Just fuck no, those heads?
Maybe more buttons? I don't know.
Maybe, yeah.
There's a lot of rumors about like the stock base bone stock Xbox One controller will be different.
Okay.
Which, okay.
All right,
fine.
Sure. Yeah, why not?
You know, since the Kinect sensor's gone, maybe they'll throw an accelerometer in that thing and get rid of the IR sensors on the controller. That could potentially make that controller cheaper.
Sure.
And also more useful since most people don't have Kinect sensors. There's quite a few things that they could do that wouldn't necessarily affect practical use of that thing, but mm-hmm. would have a substantial difference.
Sure.
So yeah, the rumors are red hot of that Xbox that there will be a revision, and I think I've made a decision. If I only buy one this year, I would probably buy the Xbox.
Okay. Yeah.
My even though I've been using my PlayStation a whole lot more than ever before, and all my friends are like super red hot on the system right now.
Right.
I think there's the biggest possible improvement across the board for the Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
I think more horsepower is what that thing needs.
Right.
Whereas with the PlayStation, I'm like, oh, this thing feels pretty good right now.
Right.
Pretty solid. You know, I've not been unimpressed with the performance of games on there. That and when you tie in the fact that Halo and Forza are my favorite franchises.
Yeah, that'll do it.
I should probably buy that Xbox.
Yeah.
We'll see. E3 is going to be real fucking interesting.
Yeah.
Decidedly less interesting considering that Nintendo's not going to be unveiling that NX.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you take into consideration that there's going to be a new Xbox, all the cell phones in the world are going to be using 14-nanometer chips, I would just assume that Nintendo's like, if we can't produce over a million of these things for launch to meet demand in a holiday season,
yeah,
we should probably delay it.
Right.
Yeah. Because probably. If you come out there soft or undershipped, people are going to be like, well, there's all these other systems. Maybe I'll just buy that instead. Yeah,
exactly.
I think if you just hit it hot and heavy in March when nobody else is fucking there, probably a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
But they also said that, yo, the only thing we're taking to E3, the only game that's going to be in our booth is Zelda.
Yeah.
For the Wii U.
Right.
So it leads me to believe that they're going to July, August, probably not wait until TGS, but at some point have their own private event where they bring all the press in and show off the NX, because guess what? If you do it in July, you're the only game in town.
It's true, yeah.
For the next 2 months.
Right.
You're all they'll talk about man, did you see that fucking thing Nintendo unveiled? That's weird. Whereas in E3, you're fighting for noise.
Right.
There's going to be all those 3D headsets there, new PlayStation, new Xbox, all this other shit.
Right.
So you're fighting for coverage, whereas in July, you're the only game.
You're the only guy there. Yeah.
So I think for them, in the way that, you know what, these Nintendo Directs and stuff that they've been doing recently, it makes sense.
Yeah.
It fits in with their current mindset.
It does.
There was some other news that came out of that as well. They said that they're going to have a Fire Emblem mobile game.
Oh.
And have also said that there's going to be an Animal Crossing mobile game.
Oh, cool.
One would hope it's more substantial than Miitomo.
Not a lot to that one?
No.
No. No.
You know what I think would be really nice for that is, if the Animal Crossing thing, they did that Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer on the 3DS that wasn't a traditional Animal Crossing game. It was just like a home designing game.
Right, yeah.
I think that would fit really well there. As a $40 cartridge, that thing felt barren and expensive.
Yeah.
But if you charge $9.99 for that as an app or have it be free to play and you buy stuff to put in your little house,
yeah,
I think that would work for a segment of people. Not me.
Right.
But people.
But people. Other people. You know, they need is a fishing mini game. That's what they need for Animal Crossing.
Yeah. Next thing you know, I accidentally throw my fucking phone. I got a new phone.
Oh, yeah? You did. It's right. You did.
I got the pink.
You got the pink.
6S Plus.
The pink gold. Was it rose gold? Or
rose gold.
Rose gold. It's a.
That's the only color I haven't owned.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck it.
I haven't owned this color yet.
What was great is that I'm at the store.
Yeah.
And there's this, like, butch dude that's like, help me out, and we're both talking about working out and shit, and he's like, all right, so you're getting the new 6S Plus, right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, which color you want? I said, I want the pink one.
he's like, what?
And he's like, oh, you want the rose gold, huh? I'm like, yep. And he pulls his phone out of his pocket and goes, bro. And showed me his pink iPhone. I was like, dude, yes!
Damn it. Pink is the new manly.
I moved from a 16 gigabit to a 64 gigabit. And within 5 minutes, I was just using Twitter again. So, yeah, guess what? New phones are still dumb. Don't buy a new phone. Ever.
1.21 gigabit.
I still like phones, though. Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember the last time I bought a phone where I was like, I'm really impressed by this. But, like, whenever you get a new phone, you just dick around with it for a while and you're like, this thing's great. But, yeah, so I guess that really kind of covers most of the Nintendo news. Mm-hmm. I did find the idea that Nintendo is, you know, is like many other publishers, seemingly abandoning E3 to a large extent.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this is starting to be a chorus of, well, fuck that show. EA's out.
Yeah, EA's out.
Activision's out.
I mean, yeah, that's two pressers that happen every year.
LucasArts is out.
LucasArts is out as well.
How
long before Ubisoft dumps it?
I don't think Konami's coming because the only thing they have this year is Pro Evolution Soccer.
All they have is pachinko machines.
They're still making Pro Evo.
I guess, but I mean, like, you know.
But whatever. In certain countries, Pro Evo still has sway, but
sure,
pretty much everybody unequivocally says that FIFA is the better game.
Yeah, and why go to that con for just that? You know, it's just, you know, whatever. They barely care about their games division anymore, anyway. So, it's a bizarre little barren wasteland now. I think everybody's just gonna have their own presser at their offices.
The weird thing is that, like, even despite all the pullouts and the way that the show, you're gonna see some weird pictures of that show floor this year.
Yeah.
Of whoa, there's nothing really in this hall, is there? but I think the press conferences are gonna be jam packed.
Probably. Yeah.
EA's got a fuck ton of shit.
Yeah.
They got a lot of stuff in the pipe.
Yeah.
And I assume that's where their big rollout of the new Mass Effect is going to be. And that's a game that has the ability, should it deliver, be the kind of thing that, like, walking out of the show, game of the show.
Right.
Just because it's been a few years, they've got all new tech for that thing, they're running on that brand new Frostbite engine, which, if you looked at Star Wars Battlefront or Battlefield 4 or any of that shit, that's really fucking impressive looking and really big. So if you give me all these weird space worlds to go out and fuck blue women, dude, yes.
I do like fucking blue women.
Yes. I still think that show is proving to be less and less relevant.
Yeah.
And I might be going to that EA thing.
Oh, yeah?
I got free tickets.
You got free ticks? You still get free ticks to those things, huh?
Does
that happen often from your writing days?
I know some guys.
Okay, that's nice. That's awesome.
And I got
pointed towards the world's worst podcast.
I got some free tickets to that. I don't know. I'd have to pay travel and all that other stuff.
Sure,
but
yeah.
There's a very good chance that this might be the only one of those EA things ever. And I feel like 10 years from now, it'd be like, remember when fucking EA did that thing? Like 4 years ago when Activision did that Call of Duty con.
Sure, yeah.
Like there are guys who did the paintball thing in their little fucking, you know, in their competition playground thing that were like,
yeah,
man, that was a weird experience. I'm like, shit, I wish I would have gone to that. It just seems like something you'll look back on your On This Day thing on Facebook and go like, man, remember how weird this fucking was?
That shit was crazy.
So I don't know. I haven't decided yet. I've got vacation time, but I don't really know if I want to pay for one of those expensive-ass plane tickets to go. But we'll know. If I'm going to go, I'll talk about it on the podcast, I'm sure.
Right on.
But outside of that, I guess we can kind of quickly go into what we've been playing lately. Brandon?
I guess. Let's see. I haven't been playing too much. I got Shantae and the Pirates Cursed. I want to check that out before the Half Genie Hero comes out. Both done by WayForward. I like those Shantae games.
Did you buy that Humble Bundle?
Was there a Humble Bundle for it?
For Nintendo, there's a shitload of stuff on it.
Oh.
I think it ends like today or tomorrow.
Does it? I didn't know. No, I didn't see that.
There's the lowest tier gets you a Shantae game for the 3DS.
Oh, that 3DS.
It's $1.
Okay, really? All right.
But like the highest tier is like $13.
Okay.
And you get Super Street Fighter 4 3D Edition.
Okay.
You get like another Shantae game.
Oh, nice.
Retro City Rampage. All sorts of shit.
Really? All right.
Yeah.
I'll go check that out.
Yeah. Even if you just give a buck to get Retro City Rampage and Shantae, why the fuck not?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Awesome. So yeah. That'd
and it gets you Wii U games. So
yeah, get some Wii U.
So you could maybe splitsies with Eric and give him the Wii U shit and you keep the 3DS shit.
That's true. That'll work.
I bought it at the highest tier because I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
And it gave me the Wii U version of Darksiders 2 for some reason.
There you go. There you
it's
go.
Like, okay.
But I also watched a movie for the first time. Not watched
for the first time?
No, I've watched movies.
Never seen a movie
before. No. I saw a movie from 2014 called Whiplash. J.K. Simmons won an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor. It is fantastic, that movie.
Holy Elevator shit. Pitch me on it.
Okay. So, well, It's an interesting story, actually, because this was pitched like forever ago. It was on the blacklist of movie screenplays. It was on the blacklist of screenplays, like the best screenplays that have never been made, basically. Like that's what they call like the Hollywood blacklist. Just for whatever reason, they hadn't been made. Nobody picked them up. Nobody published them. But like everybody's like, oh fuck yeah, that made a great movie.
James Spader's on there.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, the blacklist. James Spader's there. I like James Spader. Anyway,
he's great.
He's fantastic. But anyway,
he was great as Ultron.
Yeah, he's great as Ultron. He's fantastic. But anyway, so J.K. Simmons, what is his name? The kid who, jeez. He played in the new Fantastic Four movie. He was the young Reed Richards character. But anyway.
The black guy?
No. That was Human Torch. Okay. But anyway. So he's basically like in this he's at this prominent music school, and he wants to be the best jazz musician.
Juilliard.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not Juilliard. It's like Schaefer or something.
Okay.
But anyway, he wants to be the greatest jazz. He loves jazz, listens to old Buddy Rich, stuff like that. He wants to be the greatest jazz drummer ever, basically. That's kind of the idea you get from him almost immediately, right? Because like the first scene, he's like playing the drums.
Okay.
Like just in the classroom, in J.K. Simmons' classroom, when there's nobody there. And J.K. Simmons walks in on him and is like, whoa, sorry. And he's like, no, keep playing. And so he hears him play or whatever. But anyway, so J.K. Simmons is basically this prominent teacher at that school who is a jazz conductor. He does jazz band and all this stuff. But he is the hardest of asses. Like the super abusive, hard-ass motherfucker. And that's pretty much the whole
thing. Something tells me that this kid's will to succeed is going to really melt his icy heart.
It doesn't. Well, it does. Here's the thing. It's a really good movie. I can't express how real that. It honestly is that sort of a script, but it doesn't happen in the conventional way. And the end of that movie is so fucking badass that it's just fantastic. I can't. It's one of my favorite endings I've ever seen in a movie. Like, ever. Like, of any movie I've seen. It's so good.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's really great. Go check that out. A lot of great jazz music, too. Whiplash. Fantastic song by Don Ellis. Phenomenal. So,
sweet.
Jazz music. Boom. That's what I saw. That's what I've been playing and have been watching.
Cool.
So that's the thing. All right.
I've been playing a lot of games lately. I guess we'll start off with the hottest banger as far as upcoming releases go. I played in the beta for Gears of War 4.
Right.
Wow, that tech. Yeah. First time I've ever played, the Gears of War Ultimate Edition, the multiplayer ran at 60, but right. So Gears of War 4 is the first new game in the franchise that will ever run at 60. That game running at 60 is crazy.
Yeah.
I'll say a lot of things about this in kind of rapid-fire format. Okay. That game looks really incredible. It's very, very fast, but the thing that's going to really shock you the most that kind of turned one of my buddies off of it and kind of made me really interested in it as somebody who has been with the series since the very beginning, that game feels like Gears of War 1.
Right.
Which is crazy. I guess it shouldn't be that big of a shock because they were working on the Ultimate Edition of this. They did it in-house. Mm-hmm. So a lot of their experience with the series is going to be informed by experiences with that first game.
Sure.
Because by the time the Gears of War 3 came out and Judgment and all that other stuff, that game felt very different.
Right.
It balanced very differently. This game really goes back to the sprinting very quickly, dive rolling, and then shotgunning somebody really quick to jib them out.
Right.
There's a lot of that shotgun rolling happening in this very rapid succession. It's a very quick-moving multiplayer game that, if you're not good, you're going to get nowhere. Whenever I see somebody use a Lancer at all, I'm like, oh, this fucking guy.
Get good, scrub.
Oh, man, you're fucking done. But yeah, I had a good time with that beta. It actually just concluded on Sunday. Excited to see what they do with that game. I've been a longstanding fan of that series. I haven't absolutely loved every installment of it, but I've definitely liked them. And, any opportunity to play co-op with my buddies on Insane is greatly appreciated. So I did that. I played the Battleborn beta, and that's fucking terrible. That game is getting awful reviews. That game is one of the worst. It is awful.
Is it getting bad reviews? I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Oh, bombing.
Wow. Really?
Bombing. Yeah, like some of the reviews I've seen for that are early or impressions that you're getting where the servers didn't officially turn on until Tuesday, so a lot of people have been holding the reviews,
right.
But have been releasing review text with no score on it and stuff like that. These reviews start to read like a pretty low score to me real quick. that game, fuck it. Played a little of the Overwatch beta.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. I don't know. Like, $60 for that.
I have a beta key to that. I need to check that out.
So. Multiplayer only game on consoles doesn't seem like exactly jam packed with content.
Not super. No.
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 Yeah, that's the thing.
They made like a really nice Team Fortress 3.
Right.
Yeah. But Team Fortress 2 was not $60. and there's still, like, microtransaction stuff in there?
Is there?
That's dude, shit. Whatever.
Yeah.
That game, I'm not saying it should have been free. I'm saying it should have been less.
Right, yeah.
But...
like a $30 game. Probably.
40?
40, yeah, $40.
Something!
Something less than 60.
Yeah, like, something less than all of it. Start there. I guess we'll just have to see how that shakes out. Like, yeah. I have quite a few friends that are in the beta, and none of them sound like they're freaking out over it.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't say I'd freak out over it.
Yeah, so I guess that's most of the stuff I've been playing, except for the game that I'll focus a lot of my time with here today.
Sure.
And I won't go too long, because I know that we're getting close to an hour, and we still need to talk about Max Payne.
We do need to talk
about that. But, all right.
Fine, fuck it. We had a lot to cover. We're 2 weeks off.
Yeah, yeah, it's been a chore getting together for this. We've had so much shit going on. But yeah, so I finally sat down and devoted serious time to playing Alien Isolation.
Yeah.
I bought that game back when it was on, like, stupid sale around the holidays. Mm-hmm. I think it was, like, $10 and you got everything. The game and the season pass. I was like, well, I'd be losing money if I didn't buy it. Fuck it. So I bought it.
It'd be stupid not to.
Even though my initial experience with Alien Isolation back around the time that it came out, it was pre-patch, it was unoptimized, the load times were long, the load times are still pretty fucking long. But, you know, I kind of bounced off that game pretty hard when I first sat down with it, and my buddy Todd's been telling me, you gotta play it. Fine, fuck it, I'll play it.
So, fine, Todd, I'll play it.
Damn it. So I've sat down and I've been playing that game. I'm roughly halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
That game is incredible.
Yeah.
That game looks amazing.
Interesting.
It sounds exactly like you want it to.
Right.
With my surround sound system,
yeah.
The sounds of the alien scratching around in the vents above you as it zooms past are unnerving.
Right.
The
sound is important in a game like this.
It's yes.
Absolutely important.
So for those of you who don't know, I recommend you go and check this game out. I want to get some footage of it. We'll probably do that here later on this week or something.
Yeah.
Let's
do a full Let's Play of it. Fuck it.
That's a very long game. You know that, right?
I'm fine with that. Let's do it.
It's not a short one.
yeah.
I would have to let somebody else drive because I'm already most of the way through.
Eric, duh.
I don't have a million years to play that game.
I knew you'd say that. Oh, man. It's
great. I'll go ahead and give you kind of a low-level explanation of what this is.
Sure.
It's a first-person stealth horror experience.
Right. It's very Outlast, but would you say Outlast?
But more.
More than Outlast, because you have tools and...
It works more, in theory, like Hitman.
Right, yeah, that's what you said.
In the sense that there are all kinds of things that you can activate in an environment.
Right.
To create smoke screens by turning off the ventilation. You can distract the alien by activating the sirens.
Mm-hmm.
And the alarms and the lights. You can turn on all kinds of like weird strobe light effects so that guys can't identify you very well as you're sneaking around in the shadows, and mm-hmm. all sorts of things that are entirely in your control to manipulate the environment to create a situation where the AI will interact with you the way that you want them to. You can right. manipulate the yeah. AI in this video game to accomplish your goals.
Right, yeah.
And so the basic premise is that you're Ripley's daughter.
Right.
From the original Alien. Yeah. And if you remember, there's the moment in Aliens where she finds out, or is it Alien 3?
Alien 3 is where she's is when she's pregnant? Is that the one you're talking about?
No, the one where she finds out that her daughter's dead. Is that Aliens? When they unthaw her?
Yeah, that's 3. 3 is when they unthaw her, right? That's 3, right?
It's been a while. Okay, yeah, so basically, Ripley had a daughter who was alive on Earth, who also worked for Weyland-Yutani, mm-hmm. and by the time that she's unthawed in whatever fucking movie that was, it's been a while.
Yeah.
She finds out that her daughter's dead. Her daughter existed her entire life without her.
Right, yeah.
So what happens is that the black box recorder from the Nostromo yeah. gets found, and it ends up on this space station called Sevastopol.
It's 2. It's Aliens.
Okay, I was pretty sure it was Aliens.
You're correct. I apologize.
Alien
3 is the prison planet. I completely forgot. Go on.
Great. So the black box recorder from the Nostromo ends up on this space station called Sevastopol mm-hmm. That is run by this competing, we'll call them corporation to Weyland-Yutani, the big megacorp that is the everlasting force in the alien fiction.
Yeah.
So your team is tasked with going to Sevastopol to pick up the black box recorder that can't be decoded by anybody else but Weyland-Yutani so that you can figure out what the fuck happened on LV-426.
Yeah.
So you go there, and as soon as you get there, you realize, like, okay, I can't communicate with the space station, and part of it's blown up, and there's all sorts of weird shit going on. And so you're trying to do a space jump to get to the space station. You get separated from your team. You're fucked.
Right.
So you end up by yourself.
Yeah.
And from there, hilarity ensues.
Hilarity ensues. The wacky alien shows up.
Yeah. The reveal of man. some of the reveals for the alien and scenes are so good. The first time that the alien pops out, you're fucking talking to this guy,
yeah.
and he just gets fucking jacked through this vent, and you're like, ooh. I'm pretty sure he had to break a lot of bones to get through that hole, because woof.
He got squeezed through that.
There are moments in that game that are completely unscripted. The appearances of the alien are entirely unscripted.
Right, yeah.
There are times where he can't show up, where it's right, like, obviously. I've got to solve a puzzle. He's just never going to come.
Right.
So you can make as much noise as you want to. This game's all about the amount of noise that you make. So you're crouch walking a lot,
right.
and you're staring at one of the motion trackers from Aliens the entire time to, you know, kind of figure out what the fuck's going on, what's around you. And the nice thing is the motion tracker will also tell you the direction you need to go.
Oh, cool.
There's like this this white line that will just kind of travel around the screen based on which direction that you're going. It's like, oh, I need to go this way.
Okay.
So if you're ever lost, you kind of know where to go.
Right.
Yeah. Unless it's one of the areas where it's like, I don't know, there's a medical kit in this area somewhere. Find it.
Find that.
And then it won't be there until you find that thing. And then it's like, we need to go back. So here's right. where you need to go now. But yeah, the map stuff works really well. The motion tracker assist stuff works really well. The systems in that game all tightly knit together. And oh man, the fucking alien. Holy shit. That thing scares me so fucking much. There's a great scene where you're walking around in the medical facility, and I'm staring at my motion tracker, and the alien is fucking zooming back and forth, and I'm like, oh god, I think he's gonna come here.
Oh,
fuck
no.
Me.
Oh no.
I don't know what to do. Oh, and I'm slowly creeping forward, and it's dark except for all of the warning flashes for intruder, intruder,
right?
Intruder.
Yeah, yeah.
and nothing's on my motion tracker at the second. I'm like, oh, fine, maybe he went away. Because sometimes he'll just leave. Yeah. And I drop my motion tracker, and I look forward, and an illuminated red fucking, you know, outline of him just standing there. And I'm like, well, fuck me. God damn it.
It's like Lisa in the hallway just standing there like,
damn it. Fuck. It's so good. And I'll never forget the moment when I figured, there are vents that you can use to kind of sneak around an area to stealth around.
Mm-hmm.
No other enemies can use those.
Okay, yeah.
So I felt comfortable.
Right, yeah.
He can fucking use those.
He can use those, yeah.
And, man, when I snuck through a tube and felt like I was so fucking smart and turned around and looked at the tube that I just walked through and then... and he jumps out at me, I almost shit my pants!
I thought I was safe!
And there are all these vent holes in the ceiling, mm-hmm. and you'll see the fucking alien ooze coming out of him.
Oh, yeah.
And...
the acid spit.
And you have to sneak around it.
Yeah.
But if you make just a little too much noise, he'll reach down and just fucking grab you. And... yeah, like, one of the most useful tooltips in that game, and it's in, like, the load screens and shit, is if you see the alien and he sees you, it's already too late.
Right.
There's nothing you can do.
Right.
You can't kill it.
Right. You have to leave or hide or...
No, you won't.
Oh, you can't
if
even...
If he sees you...
Oh, if he sees you, okay.
You're
so
fucked.
Gotcha, yeah. It's
it's over.
Right. There's no beating him with a wrench.
So I've gotten to the stage where, like, when I see him and I know he sees me, I just sprint at him. And that's always real fun.
Well, shit.
I always just feel like I'm, like, the guy with the giant sword in the anime going... Aah!
There's no loader exosuit you can climb into and fight him.
Not yet.
I'm sure they'll probably have a... there's always a reference to the loader armor.
So. Only if I can wear Reeboks.
Yeah, it's true. Gotta have the Reeboks. You just they sold there, they made those?
But only in men's sizes?
Only in men's sizes, yeah, which is real dumb.
That's a real fucked up thing to do. But, I really like that.
Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of people... I heard mixed reviews of that game. I've heard it was great. I've heard it was trash. You didn't like it initially.
I'm talking like...
And, yeah, so...
watershed moment of this generation kind of stuff.
Wow, there you go.
Like, this is really good.
There you go. All right.
I will have things to say about that game when I'm done with it. I believe I'll do a formal write-up for that.
Sweet.
And I did finish one other game, and I want to touch on it real quick, because I don't believe I've talked about SteamWorld Dig on here at all.
No, you have not.
I beat that game.
Okay.
That game is like one part Dig Dug.
Yeah.
One part Terraria.
Okay.
And... it's very interesting. You're a robot man.
Yeah.
And your uncle robot man has died and left you his mine.
Okay.
So you go to that town.
Yeah.
And you just start exploring his mine.
Okay.
And you've got a pickaxe and you can dig. And later on you get a fucking robot drill arm.
Yeah.
And you just start drilling down through the mine. And you find out, oh, you got pretty far through here. And you start expanding the mine. You collect gems, which you use. You take them back to town. You start upgrading your gear and buying more items and unlocking more shops and leveling up your skills and all this other stuff. And you just keep digging down into the world. And then about halfway through the game, it all really changes.
Yeah.
You end up in like a computer world.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And you find out that... things aren't exactly what they seem, and I got weirdly addicted to that game. It's cheap. I think at full price, it's like $15.
Sure.
It's on Vita. It's on PS4.
Yeah.
It's on PS3. Yeah. It's on Wii U. I think it might even be on the 3DS.
Interesting.
And it's pretty cheap. It's really good.
Yeah.
And once I started playing it, I couldn't put it down until I stopped.
Yeah.
So for like... 4 or 5 days, I stopped playing Trackmania to play that thing, so that's a good sign.
That's a pretty good sign if you stop playing.
And, yeah, I really liked that game.
Cool.
It's very cool. Like, I would strongly recommend you play that game.
Okay.
Meaning Brandon, not you the listener.
Not you,
whatever the fuck you want.
Play whatever you want. We're not controlling what you do.
No, but I definitely think you would really enjoy it.
I would love to play it.
It's... like, all the things that got me addicted to Terraria when it first came out are present here.
Okay.
But it's a lot gamier than Terraria is. And it's also, the thing I like about it is that you can put a bow on this game in about 7 hours at most.
Yeah.
And it's got, it's not punishing in the sense that, like, when you die, you drop all your jewels and everything there. But it's not like Dark Souls where if I die before I get back there, they're gone.
Right.
Because there's a finite number of resources in this game.
Yeah.
So it's not super punishing. You can die and it doesn't fucking matter.
Right.
And it's fun. It's a really good time. Yeah. You're a robot man. You're and that's cool.
Man. Being a robot man is okay.
I like being a robot man.
Robot man's okay.
But yeah, that'll do it for me and what I've been playing.
Awesome. So let's go on to Max Payne 1 and 2. That's on the PlayStations and the Xboxes. And all of them.
Yeah, it was a PC game that the original one was ported initially to the PC and the original Xbox. And then a port came later for the PS2. They also made, I believe when Max Payne 2 came out, that was on everything kind of all at once.
Mm-hmm.
The PS2 versions of that, like, they're not an absolutely awful way to play it, but that's not the way I would recommend you play it.
Right.
The original Xbox versions were pretty good. By today's standards, they're not great.
No.
The PC version's really the way to go, but if you're going to play it on a console that's old, I'd play it on the original Xbox.
Yeah.
That's probably the best console way to play it.
Mm-hmm.
I also believe that, like, they made, like, Xbox Originals versions of that.
Yeah.
So if you've got a 360 laying around, you can buy digital copies of that for pretty cheap.
Sure.
Or if you've got a hard drive on your 360, you can just, or use the original Xbox disc, just throw them in there and it'll work.
Yeah.
In backwards compatibility mode. But yeah, the original Max Payne was kind of like a watershed moment in action video games, because it was one of the first games that took the controls of a first-person shooter and combined it to a third-person action game and gave you this sense of control that you had never had before. The thing about third-person games that involved any kind of combat shooting up until the original Max Payne was that they always felt incredibly sloppy.
Yeah, yeah. You're just kind of running around. Okay, this is a bad example just because it's a wretched game, but before this game, I would say all those types of games felt like Drake in the 99 Dragons. But it's like, I know that's a horrible, horrible comparison because that game is broken, but you know what I mean? It's just like, it's sloppy and
Drake in the 99 Dragons is a pretty deep cut, bro.
It is, but I'm saying, like, comparatively, like, when you realize, like, oh, okay, like, this... Because I remember that game vividly when it came out, because...
Man doesn't forget Drake and the 99 Dragons.
Well, not Drake and I meant Max Payne.
Oh, sorry.
I remember, no. One does not forget that experience, that is for certain.
Nope.
But no. I remember that game vividly when it came out, Max Payne, because it did feel like the best type of that shooter, like, period. You know, it just... It felt great to shoot guys. It felt great to use bullet time. It felt awesome jumping around. It just, you know, it had good game feel to it, that game. It was good. It was good.
The original game had that awesome Sam Lake face in it, so it looked like he always had to go poo.
He did. He did look like he wanted to go poo.
But, you know, I think that actually ties into, you know, one of the things that I enjoyed the most is that, you know, Max Payne 1, for the time, was a game that looked like none other.
Yeah.
That game just looked fan-fucking-tastic.
Yeah.
And, you know, employed a series of gameplay, you know, activities that you had never really seen in a game before.
Yeah.
You know, it did Matrix stuff in a video game before the Matrix did Matrix stuff in a video game. And what's sad is that it still does Matrix stuff better than any Matrix game that was ever made.
Yeah.
So, the idea is that basically, if you've ever seen a John Woo movie, you kind of get the idea of Max Payne. It's a hard-boiled cop drama.
Yeah.
You're a cop.
Mm-hmm.
Your wife and child were murdered by dope fiends.
Yep.
Who were all hooked on this drug called Valkyr.
Mm-hmm.
And you, in throughout the first game, relive those moments through a series of dream sequences that have lived in infamy,
mm-hmm.
where you have to walk along a blood trail line and listen to your daughter cry, or walk down elongated hallways having to listen to your wife scream for her life. It's, you know, for the time, like, by modern standards, you're gonna, you know, you look at this and go, like, oh, this is just ham-fisted.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's, people have done this afterwards, too. Like, there are games that do that sort of thing, that trippy drug trip down the pass sort of deal, but this was kind of the first real big one that did it, you know, mainstream.
Yeah, and, you know, and that leads into the John Woo-ness of this, mm-hmm. is that the original Max Payne had one slow-mo move.
Right.
But you used it in combat so effectively that it felt like you had this control over combat that you had never had in a video game before. When you are Max, you run into a room. If you hit the dive button, you begin diving in slow motion, and most of the time, if you're playing that game right, you've got two pistols in your hands.
Yep.
Because that's the way you do it in a John Woo movie. That's the way he gets down.
You get two pistols and doves behind you, and you're in a John Woo movie. That's
and you dive through a door, and you've got your two pistols, and you're slowly aiming around the room with pinpoint precision, just dumping bullets into people's faces, and it feels so good.
Yep.
Even by today's standards, you could lay a controller in somebody's hands and say, hey, play this Max Payne game. I think they're still going to have a really good time.
Yeah, they're still going to have a smile on their face. They're still going to be grinning ear to ear as they flip around doing that stuff.
Now, there's an interesting lineage that exists with the Max Payne franchise. The first two games were developed by Remedy Entertainment. Remedy being the folks who went on to make Alan Wake. Mm-hmm. They've also recently, which is why I thought of this as a topic for today's episode, they recently released Quantum Break for the Xbox One and PC.
Mm-hmm.
Remedy is the studio that creatively gave this franchise its juice. And if you look at the games that they've made since then, still kind of informs what they do today. They're a team that just likes to make games like that. That cinematic, pulpy, noir style storytelling.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting story behind the development is that Remedy created these games, and they made them. The first game was published on PC by the publisher Gathering of Developers. Mm-hmm. God Games, if you remember them.
Right.
Gathering of Developers was an interesting kind of cohort of game developers that were publishing games. Some of those guys went on to form like South Peak and Gamecock and all sorts of other game publishing. Devolver Digital, some of those guys are old Gathering of Developers guys.
Yeah.
So, what's funny about Gathering of Developers and all the shit that spawned after that, like Gamecock and South Peak and all this other shit, is that like it just seems like those guys are really good at securing venture capital and saying like, I got a really good idea, all you right, guys. Fuck, we're out of money.
Look, I got this great idea. But, oh, under budget? Okay.
But in the, you know, in the scale of, you know, some guys that are trying to get together to do something cool and fight against multi-billion dollar entities, no wonder a lot of these things were unsuccessful. It's hard to, you know, to be trained by somebody in your garage and go fight Ali.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's it's difficult to succeed when you're doing that.
Yeah.
So the initial game was published by Gathering Developers on the PC. When the Xbox and PS2 ports were going to be coming out, that was when handling of that franchise moved over to Rockstar. The dealing there is kind of interesting.
Okay.
That involved some kind of agreement and payout and whatever, where Rockstar retained IP rights to Max Payne.
Interesting.
So when Remedy and Rockstar's agreement ended after Max Payne 2, Remedy left with nothing. It's like when Dr. Dre left Death Row Records. He left all his shit.
His office was fully stocked when he left that.
Fucking sure. Death Row got to keep his records.
Got to keep his records.
I've never really gotten the impression that that relationship is super strained there, and it was really not out of the ordinary for publishers to retain IP rights for game franchises since then.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it took them about 7 years, 8 years for Rockstar to put out a follow-up to Max Payne.
Yeah.
And I realize quite a few people really like Max Payne 3, and it's a game I would like to revisit at some point, mm-hmm. but it felt like a Rockstar game. It didn't feel like Max Payne.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And a lot of that was due to the engine that it ran on and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just, there's something about the way that Rockstar Rage engine works.
Yeah.
That, everything you put in that game just kind of feels like that.
Yeah, it really did. It felt more like, and I never had to play it, but I did watch it. And it felt like a GTA game. It felt very much like one. And right down to the parody TV stuff that would occur. You know, like, you could sit and watch, like, a TV thing, and, like, it'd be a bunch of parody nonsense. And
well, they did that in the original Max Payne.
Yeah, they did.
Like, Super Baseball Bat Boy. And
yeah, that's true. But like, it felt GTA-ish for some reason.
Well, their like, brand of comedy...
Exactly, yeah.
It's what they do.
Exactly. It felt very much of that. Ilk, you know. It's
there's like, something about, like, and I don't want to get too far off on a tangent here, but there's something to be said for the way that none of the guys from Rockstar live in the U.S. or have ever lived here.
That is very
But they seem to get it pretty well. Like, they most of the time, when, like, if I were to try to tell you a story about Japanese culture,
right,
and you gave it to somebody who'd ever lived in Japan, they would go, this is fucking bullshit. But for them to have never lived here,
yeah,
they really seem to get us pretty well.
It's pretty impressive, actually. Yeah. For some reason, there's always that cultural barrier, because it was really weird with Life of Strange, because that was kind of, like, developed by Japanese people. And so, like, the first, like, it gets better throughout the thing, but, like, it's a very Japanese-esque type of emotion going on in an American setting, so it's really bizarre. So I think that's why they made them all a bunch of, like, a-hole photographer hipsters, so that they I think that's why they did that.
I think I'm the only person who likes the teacher.
He's a piece of garbage, I'm telling you. I don't like him.
Everybody thinks he's fingering those kids.
I don't trust him one iota. And again, I have not finished that game or any of that sort of...
Everybody thinks he's fingering those kids.
He probably is. I bet if we need to play that game. We need to play a definitive playthrough of Life of Strange. And I guarantee at some point, he's probably not like the... He probably fingered those kids at some point. I'm just going to say.
I like how you feathered the clutch on it and then just jammed on the gas.
I thought about it. I almost pulled the trigger. I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to pull the trigger. Fuck this guy. I don't like him. But anyway.
But yeah,
cultural things. Yeah, so it's funny.
It definitely felt like a very different game.
It did.
You know, we also touched on, you know, the TV stuff. Mm-hmm. The game did this, like, you know, the first game had Super Baseball Bat Boy.
Right, yeah.
It's something that has remained in Remedy games.
Sure.
Throughout, like, in Alan Wake and Quantum Break, you have Night Springs.
Okay.
Which is their fucking Twilight Zone Twin Peaks show thing.
Oh, is it?
Which That's is awesome. Fucking great.
You love it. You love a Twin Peaks Twilight.
Oh, film. Holy shit. Twin
Peaks reference.
Yeah, real, real interested in that.
Sure.
But yeah, I'm a really big fan of that franchise. Mm-hmm. I'm actually, despite the fact that I'm about halfway through Quantum Break and not really loving it, when those guys come out with a banger, they do really well with it.
Right, yeah.
And it's the thing that, like, you know, that concerns me about Quantum Break seeming to not sell very well, not get the biggest, you know, critical reception, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It worries me about the future of Remedy Entertainment. They've kind of tied themselves to Microsoft here for about the last 8 or 9 years.
Sure.
And, you know, Microsoft is very big into when they come out with a new IP, it's got to hit.
Yeah.
You know, back in the original Xbox era, and even through, like, the early 360 shit, they were dumping money into third parties and second party agreements with companies to, like, try to, you know, we're just going to try to hit you with volume like Sony did.
Right.
And then they really started buckling down and said, no, we want to have 5 franchises that are all really good.
Right.
And then occasionally we'll introduce a new franchise, but for the most part, we're going to stick close to home base when we can.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm concerned about the lack of success that that game is having and what it could mean for the future. But, you know, I guess we'll tie this back into Max Payne. There's something about the technical level of those games, specifically Max Payne 2, is probably one of the best looking games of that generation on console.
Mm-hmm.
It plays incredibly well. It runs so fucking smooth.
I remember that. Did that come out around the same time as Splinter Cell, or was that the first one? Or was there a Splinter Cell?
Well, Max Payne, the original, was around the time of the Xbox launch.
Right, yeah.
So it wasn't a launch game. I believe it hit in December.
Right, yeah.
If it wasn't December, it was January. It was very early.
Right. I remember at one point Max Payne and Splinter Cell just being, like, the two really nice-looking games at the time.
Yeah, I mean, Splinter Cell was Christmas of 2002.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's, you know, about a year into that console's lifespan.
Right.
So it's like, you know, hand over fist.
Yeah.
When you compared what Sony had to what Microsoft had from a purely technical perspective.
Sure.
It's like, we got Max Payne, we got Halo.
Right.
We got Splinter Cell.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have Project Gotham Racing. All their shit looks way better.
Mm-hmm.
It just, that thing came out swinging from a technical perspective, but it's a good indication that hardware doesn't always win a race.
Right.
And up until this generation, with the PS4 being more powerful than the Xbox One, the most powerful system had never won.
Right.
Ever.
Yeah, at any point, yeah.
And so it's impressive to see that, you know, that Sony can come out with a powerful box, have a good strategy, and take the lead, and...
Yeah.
They're never going to let that lead go.
No. Yeah.
At this point, with them having over 40 million consoles sold, they ain't letting that go.
No, no. They're going to double down.
But the fun thing, you know, for all of you playing along at home, is that it would seem that both consoles are going to come out of this generation pretty unscathed.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Max Payne has a lineage in the console space. It's probably still most known as an original Xbox game.
Mm-hmm.
By most people, because most people that I know, that's where they played it.
Yeah.
Because that was in that down era for PC stuff. That was when piracy was getting really bad. Hardware was still incredibly expensive to buy. You know, games just weren't selling very well there. Most ports of console games that went to PC were complete fucking garbage. you know, it was a rough time to be a PC-only kind of guy.
Yeah.
The stuff that was good there was still really good. There was just a whole lot less of it.
Right.
And, you know, so the Max Payne franchise did one thing that I don't think it will ever get the credit it deserves.
Yeah.
Is even though all of the stories in that thing are so trite, plucked directly out of other forms of media, it brought heavy-handed, pulp, emotional storytelling to mature storytelling to video games in a way that it had never been brought before.
Yeah.
And it took years for other people to get on the emotional maturity level of storytelling that those guys were on in 2001.
Yeah.
And it's...
I'll agree with that. Because, yeah, most of the most mature stuff, again, going back to, like, Splinter Cell... At the time, going back to things like Splinter Cell, but before that, it had to be military. That was, like, the only time that it was, like, kind of really serious.
Yeah.
Like, it was military or Rogues, you know, Rainbow Six, stuff like that, original Rainbow Six, PC games like that. But, yeah, this was, like... real crime noir, your family was murdered, and you're going to have to experience this. Like, you're going to have to experience the torture in his head as he goes through and murders all of these druggies.
And there are other games that you can totally pick out, like, you know, if, once again, for those of you playing at home, you know, you'll have people who say, what about Final Fantasy VII? There's death in that game. You know, it's...
Yeah.
I would say that that's told like a comic book.
It is. It's very comic booky, Yeah.
It's not...
It's cartoonish.
It's not gritty.
Yeah. It's over the top. It's lambastic. It's crazy.
And you'll... a lot of people will say the original Metal Gear Solid. That, I will say that had a very good story, but that video game is an anime.
Yeah, it is. It is very... It's very
anime. That game is an anime.
It's a manga, anime, very Japanese, you know, freaking...
There's no real world consequences... To the original Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
It's, once again, it's that military, almost otherworldly... we're not dealing with the death of your family.
No.
We're dealing with the end of existence.
Yeah, exactly. It's Kojima-level drama, which is fucking batshit.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know...
You know, it's basically the equivalent of you sitting down to play a chess game with somebody and they replace the king with an uncorked grenade.
Exactly.
No matter what, we're all dead.
We're all dead. It doesn't fucking matter.
And so there's, like, and that's the thing that I would say about Max Payne is that it's taking it back to, you know, from chess to checkers.
Right.
Of just focusing on a simple story, but giving it emotional resonance and pain and suffering. And it gives the player the opportunity to dwell on a loss that they didn't experience themselves.
Yeah.
And to look into yourself and how would I feel if this happened to me? Mm-hmm. You know, it's the thing that, like, and I don't know what makes you, and I'm not going to say this happened to me in this video game, but when I watch a movie and I cry, I cry not because that person is dead. The reaction that it incites to me is, if I was this person,
exactly,
how would that make me feel?
That is an immersive experience.
That is you creating this scenario in your mind and being swept away with it to a point where you lose control for a moment.
Yeah, it's immersion. You're immersed in the experience.
And that's the thing about Max Payne that I think, more so than its gameplay, even though it was revolutionary and changed third-person video games forever. Mm-hmm. Not until Gears of War did another game have more effect on third-person action games than Max Payne.
Right.
But I think even more significant than its advancements in third-person, specifically third-person shooting video games, what it did to storytelling in video games and telling a personal and true and emotionally effective story, nobody did it better.
Yeah, no, I agree. Because not a whole lot happens in those games. You kind of go from one level to the next, and then you experience a flashback in between each one, or like in the middle of one, and that's all that happens.
And we didn't really talk about, you know, like, one is you coming to grips with the death of your family.
Right.
And then two deals with shame.
Yeah.
And it deals with a twisted love story. Mm-hmm. And you're both these twisted objects that have been fucked around and abused to the point where you think you don't deserve anything anymore.
Any happiness or anything,
And you deal with the death of this woman.
Yeah.
So you've got this broken man.
Yeah.
That's had to lose everything twice. And, you know, it's no wonder he's a pill addict. It's no wonder he's an alcoholic.
Yeah.
It's no wonder he's a toxic human being.
Yeah.
Because everything he's ever loved is always taken away from him because the universe fucking hates Max Payne.
Or maybe it's just the druggies, I don't know. Maybe it's just the dope
heads. Fair enough.
Maybe it's just the dope heads. It's always them. It's always the mob guys. But yeah, no, that's, I think that's a pretty good wrap.
Go play Max Payne and Max Payne 2.
Go play those two games. Are they available on, new stuff nowadays? Are they,
they're on PC. They're on good old games. They're on Steam. Yeah. The nice thing about this is that they'll run on a fucking netbook.
It's true. They're not
high end. They're 15-year-old games. They'll run just fine.
They'll run fine. You can probably buy one of those joysticks with like 10 games on it, and the Max Payne will be one of them.
The most interesting bit of trivia when it comes to Max Payne, though, and I'll share this before we end our episode.
Okay,
is that what is the most obscure platform that the original Max Payne has ever been released on?
Oh, let's see. I'm gonna go with the N-Gage. Was it on the N-Gage?
Close.
Oh, wow. Was that close? That's amazing.
Boy Advance.
Oh, wow. Really? I remember that.
It's isometric. It has the bullet time. It has voice acting a Game Boy Advance game.
I remember that. Holy
shit. That was back when Rockstar was doing all that weird fucking technical wizardry with their Grand Theft Auto port and their fucking Max Payne port. On that, they were doing weird shit on the GBA. That nobody had any right doing.
Right, yeah. Oh, man, I forgot all about that stuff. That's hilarious.
I've got that Max Payne cartridge around here somewhere, and I'll let you play that one day. It's cool.
That's awesome.
It's a weird version of that game.
Yeah, I still got my SD. I still got my my SP.
I'm more of a DS-like guy.
Yeah,
DS-like's good. I think that's the optimal way to play those games, because it's not front-lit like the SP was. It's backlit.
Okay, yeah.
Which, those front-lit screens anymore, going back to an SP,
yeah,
I loved that system. I thought it was so fucking cool. Mm-hmm. But going back to frontlit screens now, I can't do it.
Can't do it, yeah. I just backlit.
The lights are so much dimmer in perspective, and it's weirdly distributed around the screen. Mm-hmm. So, like, the middle of the screen is always super dim compared to the sides.
To the sides are all much dimmer.
Yeah.
It's like spotlights on your game.
That's it's no worm light. I'll tell you that.
It's no worm light.
That's man, that original GBA, what a piece of shit.
You know, did you ever have one?
Yeah.
Do you still have one?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Do you have any, like, attachments for it or anything?
I have a worm light.
Oh, do you? Okay, you have the worm light. Well,
how the fuck else were you going to play it?
True, I know. Well, we had, I remember, we still have it, and I know exactly where it's at, but we had the original Game Boy, and we had the power pack on the back.
You're talking about original Game Boy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking
GBA.
Oh, GBA. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm talking about original Game Boy. Yeah, did you own an original Game Boy?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I had this weird thing that snapped onto it that had lights.
Yeah, yeah. We had the light and magnifying glass thing for it where it flipped out. It was like, ooh, look at this thing. And it was just, and then it's like, it's
look
like
at me, I'm going to need glasses.
It's just this giant fucking, because we always put the battery pack on it, and then we put that thing. It's great. It's just like, we're just dipping lower and lower because it's so heavy.
Whenever I saw people using those, all I could ever think was, grandma's going to need her readers. Yeah.
I'm going to need my readers, yeah. Oh. But, it was good for car trips, man. I don't know what to tell you, so.
That original Game Boy. I never owned a Game Boy Pocket.
Yeah. Yeah, neither did I. I never owned a Pocket or a... I think I owned a Color at one point, maybe?
I got a Color the Christmas they came out because that was also the Christmas that the Pokemon Red and Blue came out.
That's right, the Red and Blue came out.
And my original Game Boy, it was just so scarred up at that point. And right. My grandmother...
Yeah.
Who's a fucking saint.
Yeah, bless her.
ravaged a store somewhere and got me a Game Boy Color and Pokemon Blue, and I still have them to this day.
Well, there you go. That's awesome.
She got me the clear one, and I was like, this is dope.
The clear Game Boy Color. So the non-color, actually. You got the note.
Well, no, it was like a light purple.
Oh, right.
But it was translucent. Purple, translucent. Because it was the fucking late 90s, and everything was translucent. You want to see computer boards, man.
You did. You wanted to see the
board. I still want to see them now. Clear cell phones. Bring them back.
You know what I want? Wood paneling. Bring that back.
Ooh. Remember when the Xbox... I know we're getting way off the event here.
You know, we're about done with this anyway.
Remember when the Xbox 360 came out?
Yeah,
and they had that wood panel fucking face? I have that wood panel fucking... It looks like a bowling alley for your Xbox.
So cool. That's so awesome.
I'll have to whip that out sometime.
You should. You should totally whip that out sometime. We'll take some photos.
I've got my Japanese Xbox. I'll put it on that fucking thing. Yeah, I have a Japanese 360. Why?
Why?
I like vertical scrolling shooters, and there was a lot of them on there.
Whatever.
Oh, I have... If anybody's still listening to this, I don't think I've said this yet.
If anybody's still there...
It's a cry for help. letting you know now, I've been kidnapped.
This whole podcast is a cry for help. At this
Amazon Japan ships to the U.S. now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So for video games, you don't have to go through a third party anymore.
Oh.
So companies like PlayAsia,
who
took a $50 game, will get like $80 for it.
Right.
You're paying actual shipping costs. You can't use your American Amazon Prime, so you don't get the free shipping.
Right.
But shipping's reasonably priced, and I just ordered a... copy of Puyo Puyo Tetris.
Oh, Puyo Puyo Tetris. Nice.
So it's Puyo Puyo and Tetris.
And Tetris all in one game.
I want a video of that for the site.
I would love
because I just paid like $80 for Puyo Puyo Tetris.
I want my return investment on this.
Yes. I need an ROI so I can write this off of my taxes.
Well, we don't make money off this site anyway.
All right, you normally have some kind of dumb thing for me, like a question about, like, who would you fuck?
Marry, fuck, kill. I do, but I don't have one now, because I forgot about that whole segment. So.
Marry, fuck, kill.
Yeah, marry, fuck, kill.
Sonic, Knuckles.
Sonic, Knuckles.
Big the Cat.
Sonic, Knuckles, and Tails. There, marry, fuck, kill. Sonic, Knuckles, and Tails. The blue, red, and yellow.
I'm killing Tails.
Killing Tails, okay, yeah. Alright, killing Tails. Makes sense. That makes perfect sense.
Fucking Sonic.
You're fucking Sonic. Because you know why? It'll be real quick.
But up, bum.
But up, dot, dot.
I guess I'm going to marry Knuckles.
And marry Knuckles. He seems like a protector.
He seems like he would never let anything bad happen.
He's always guarding him emeralds, I think. Isn't that his deal?
I guess.
I have no fucking clue what his deal is.
Anyway, do you want to play a Mary Fuck Kill real quick with female wrestlers?
I'm glad you didn't say fuck Knuckles, because echidnas have five penises.
So, how do you know they have
five? They have a five-tipped penis. It's the only animal in the world with a five-tipped penis. I don't know why they have it. You ever,
what look, kind of vaginas do those things
I have? Don't know. Probably really strong ones. But yeah, fuck, marry, kill with
female wrestlers.
Female wrestlers. Okay.
All right.
Oh, you want to do it?
You can name.
Okay. Natalia, Sasha Banks, and Summer Rae. How about that?
Killing Summer Rae.
Killing Summer Rae. Okay. I probably made that too easy, didn't I? Yeah. I made this way too easy. I didn't think about Summer Rae. Yeah. I probably should have picked somebody else.
And, oh man, I'm actually kind of agonizing over this. I'm a big Natalya guy, but yeah. Sasha.
Sasha's alright. I'm saying. I'm
fucking Sasha and I'm marrying Natalya.
See, either one of those is fine. I would go either way with those two.
I feel bad though because I feel like TJ with his broken neck, I feel like he'd be real sad.
Yeah, he probably would.
Him and his ugly cats.
But you know what? Fuck it.
He's got cat facts.
He does have cat facts. He does have cat facts. Anyway.
Hope he makes it back to the ring one day.
I hope he does soon. I hope he does soon, actually. But yeah, that's it for this episode of the Video Destruct Podcast. You can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/VideoDestruct. You can check us out at VideoDestruct.com, or you can check us out on Twitter. You want to do the thing?
Follow me on Twitter
at @Hoss_buddy.
You can also check us out on Twitter at @VideoDestruct. So, let's call that a thing. Put that in the can.
Put it in the old can.
Put it in the old can.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.